This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for May 20th, episode 1173, brought to you by our dear friends at Back on Track Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Guess what day it is, huh? Anybody? Julie, hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on, I know you can hear me. Mike, what day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Wednesday.
Hit it!
That's right, it's hump day with your Horses in the Morning hosts, Jamie, that girl Jennings, and Glenn, the geeky pony guy. Wednesday,
Now, you know what it is? It's not all of those things. It is mosquito day here in Florida. It's officially mosquito season. We had a lot of rain last week. And Jennifer, 3 days ago, like a dummy, we were walking down to get the horse. She said, "Oh, there hasn't been any mosquitoes yet this year." Well, 2 days later, let me tell you what it was like yesterday. We went out to clean the paddocks in the afternoon. And Jennifer, I was wearing one of those white moisture-resistant shirts that you wear in Florida. And I literally had 20 mosquitoes on one arm, a sleeve.
Oh my God.
They were covering the horse. The horses were covered. I mean, literally covered in mosquitoes. We were spraying them with anything we could find. You know how all the fly sprays don't keep mosquitoes off? Well, you know, no matter what we used yesterday, we tried three different things. The mosquitoes would not stay off of them. And Jennifer even did her home brew of catnip. Remember we talked about that last year? That didn't work.
Uh-huh.
Nothing worked. These things are like immune. They're like bionic mosquitoes. And
it was awful. Do your horses freak out and run around like crazy when they're getting bit?
Jennifer is going to post a picture in a couple seconds here on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page. You know how you always are joking that we never have anything to talk about with Jennifer because Beaker's so good?
Uh-huh.
Well, now we have something to talk about with Beaker, but unfortunately, it has nothing to do with him being bad. It just has to do with him being a favorite of the mosquitoes. I took a picture of him this morning when we went out, and this is after dousing him in three kinds of fly spray and everything we could think of, and Jennifer practically dumping an entire bottle of her homebrew on him. It just was incredible. I literally took my pony out last night. We always take their halters off. I was getting eaten alive bringing my pony out to the field, and we had sprayed ourselves too. I went out this morning. His halter was still on. I had fortunately taken his lead rope off the halter, so it wasn't that big a deal, but I never leave their halters on. And it was just, I think we were just so mosquito infested, just weren't even thinking straight.
Ugh. Well, you know, we should actually ask on our Facebook page, what is the thing you use for mosquitoes? The only purchased thing that I have ever found to work is a product called Mosquito Halt. This is not, they're not sponsors. It's called Mosquito Halt, and it is the only thing
that
kills mosquitoes. Yeah, and buy it on Amazon or whatever right now, because Mosquito Halt, but like Chad calls it, he's like, that stuff smells like cancer. I mean, it's brutal. So there's got to be some better home remedies or some more herbal type stuff that doesn't smell like cancer. But before you figure that out, get yourself some Mosquito Halt. And you can, they sell it here basically at the time of year where, we have mosquitoes, which we have mosquitoes. Arizona doesn't have mosquitoes, but we have mosquitoes at our place. Gosh, they just find water when we irrigate in July and August.
Mm.
And my horses gallop like their tails are on fire. So how do your horses handle it?
Well, they just handle it. But take a look at the picture. Jennifer just posted the picture. Go.
Oh, the darn chestnuts get it the worst.
Ugh, he is covered. And what we're talking about is Beaker is Jennifer's quarter horse. And he is literally, look at his neck. It looks like he has the measles. He is covered in bumps all over his body. That's from one night.
This is where Beaker is a good boy, is my horses would have run through the fence.
Yeah.
I'll just take it.
It's just sad. I mean, it really is sad. It's just like, well, we tried, you know? It's not like we didn't do anything. We tried.
Well, this morning we broke out the super-duper toxic, expensive bug spray that we keep in the house.
Yeah, that's right.
And we sprayed that on them. We're hoping it helps.
I'm gonna contact my friend who posted a mosquito thing a while ago, and I'm just gonna message her and be like, "Tell me what it is," because it was something that sounded like it should work. It didn't have catnip in it, though. I would remember that.
Yeah, it's just something else. And I'm sure we're not the only ones. You know, we're just first. The one thing Florida has, we do have bugs that you will not find other places. But boy, the worst place I ever was forever saw mosquitoes was up in, where was it? Was it Wisconsin or up that way where I was? And that was awful. It was awful. It was Minnesota. We went to the Mall of America, and that night we went on a boat ride on the lake, and it was beautiful during the day. It was absolutely stunning. We were looking at big houses along the lake, and as soon as the sun went down, you had to get inside, or you just wanted to jump in the water and drown. It was, the mosquitoes were so bad. Alaska apparently has a huge problem with mosquitoes, big mosquitoes in Alaska.
Alaska, they're like, we've got moose. Yes, we're right. Huge.
That's right. We got to do everything big. Do you think Texas is big? Wait till you see our mosquitoes.
Yeah, at dusk when I lived in Georgia, I would take my dogs for a walk. And there's, at some point, I'm like, you know what? Run away. Just go. Just go. I can't. I just can't.
I know. It is something else. Well, anyway, mosquito season, it's officially here. And the other thing that's officially here, and this is kind of unique to Florida, is spiderweb season has started. So you get about 50 of those in the morning. And I don't know what the spiders eat around here, but boy, they whatever they eat makes them do webs that are absolutely invisible. And you just walk through them, and you never have seen them in the first place. And it's just like, oh, man, and you're constantly wiping between the mosquitoes and the spiderwebs. We probably look like insane people in Florida.
Yeah. You know what? When in the entire winter, you're like, yeah, it's 75 degrees here. This is awesome. You've just retracted everything bragged about.
Exactly. Hey, Jennifer, what's coming up on today? We have to get busy here because we have a lot to do, and we have to talk about something very important here. So go ahead.
All right. Glenn, you step carefully off your soapbox. And on today's Back on Track Wednesday edition, Brian from White River Ag is going to stop by to answer all of the questions you were afraid to ask about pelleted straw bedding. And then next up, Dr. Mark from Equine Performax at the Jekyll Center is going to give us the short course on their Aqua Pacer. And coming to an awkward stop at the bottom of the Wednesday hump, Horse and Country TV's European Report with Victoria Spicer. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you very much, Coach Jen. We'll do our daily whinnies quickly here. Well, my daily whinny goes out to our friend in New Zealand who's been on this show before. Her name is Ellie O'Brien of Ellie O'Brien Horsemanship. And she's a regular contributor to the Stable Scoop radio show. And I know she listens to Horses in the Morning on occasion. And we wanted to give her our daily whinny. She had a riding accident the other day and actually broke her back. She broke her L3. And she has been doing Instagram. She has been doing videos. She has been bored to death laying in the bed, I think. And she's just this most positive person in the world. And she's taking selfies of her smiling and doing the inhaler thing. But she does have feeling in her legs, but she cannot walk at this point. So they're going to be doing surgery tomorrow to move think she'll be able to walk and be just fine, but they have to put the pieces back together of her L3. And she posted, of course, she's a horse girl, so she posts the x-rays, right, of her back. And that one L3 is just in five pieces. So, and it's pushing on her spinal column. So they're going to fix all that in surgery tomorrow, and she's expected to have a full recovery. But we want to wish her the best. She's so funny. She takes these pictures of herself, and she did this video, and she actually put the video montage together of all the different parts of what she was doing in the hospital. And she just, who would do that? Just Ellie something else.
Wow. So, healing thoughts, girlfriend. Oh, that's just brutal.
Yeah, we love you, Ellie.
There's so much exciting horse racing news right now. I mean, not even related to the Belmont, but the Zayat family has, and this was going to be my daily Winnie, because they were a little bit broke and needed some more money, they sold the breeding rights. Poor things are struggling. They sold the stud rights to American Pharoah.
Really?
Now, the article came out. Yeah, it came out yesterday. The breeding rights to dual classic winner American Pharoah have been sold to an undisclosed stud farm, reported May 19th. And Ahmed Zayat of Zayat told ESPN.com that he could not pass up the offer made for the three-year-old colt. Now, his son is not as quiet and said they've been offered upwards of $20 million.
Whoa, who wants to fuss with breeding and checks every year when you could just put your $20 million in the bank?
Exactly. Now, I'll tell you who wants it. Because just this morning it was announced, news alert on Blood Horse, American Pharoah to stand at stud at Ashford Stud. Yup, Ashford is the one who wants to deal with the breeding. And they're in Versailles. So isn't, I'm trying to remember who was at Ashford, but oh my gosh.
Isn't Ashford, Jennifer, the one that goes out to the brewery that you actually pass on the way to Woodford Reserve?
No, I think that's Windstar. Okay. I think that's Windstar.
I don't know which one Ashford is. There's so many over there.
Every time I type in Ashford Stud into Google, it comes up as Ashford Students, and it's a college. So I'm like, no.
You had that problem too.
Know your owner. Know your computer owner.
Hey, we got to talk about a couple things before we get to our first guest. And that is, we're going to be making some changes starting next week. We've been doing the show here for 5 years on Blog Talk Radio. And to be honest, we realize the sound is pretty crappy. When you listen to the morning show compared to our other shows we do on the network, the sound is bad AM radio at best. Well, we were hoping over the past 5 years that Blog Talk would get better with sound, and it really has not. So we are going to be leaving Blog Talk Radio starting next week. And Monday's a holiday, but Jamie's going to come in on Tuesday. And Tuesday, we're going to have a couple of guests on who are veterans, our veteran guests, because we don't know what's going to happen. It could be a fiasco. So do not expect wonderful things on Tuesday's show. We are going to do an experiment. We're going to do a dry run, a dress rehearsal tonight with some of our auditors and practice, because it's all new technology. One of the reasons we never left Blog Talk was there wasn't a way to do some of the stuff that we can do in Blog Talk with the calls and with the producer and doing regular radio type of technical things we couldn't do before. Well, there's some services out there now that are going to allow us to do that. What it means for you, the listener, is that we will still be live, but there'll be a new player. When you go to listen, there'll be a new player. The player should work better than the Blog Talk player has in the past. So hopefully that'll be the case. We'll be testing that again today too. One of the other changes is you will not be able to call in to listen to the show anymore. I know there are some callers that do that, some listeners that call in to listen to the show, but hopefully the player will work for you on your phones. We're going to test all of that tonight with the auditors. We have such a good group of auditors, or we have about 10 of them helping us out tonight. So, what we know is that the sound quality will be about 100 times better than it is now. Jamie doesn't like to listen to herself anyway, but she really doesn't like to listen to herself in bad AM radio. So,
oh my gosh, it's terrible. It's embarrassing. And I have listened to the other shows. Like, I listened to Debbie's show, and it sounds so good. Like, I spend all this money on really fast, good internet and sound like crap. And I can't stand it. And it just sounds unprofessional, and it sounds terrible. And it sounds like really like not just AM radio, Glenn. AM radio at night when you're kind of
when you're driving and it comes in and out.
Yeah, it's that bad. So, and we know that, and we love you guys for continuing to listen to this terrible sound. So that has been my whole thing the whole time, is I don't care what we do, as long as it sounds better, you know. And I can even, I'm willing to give up a lot of stuff. Like, for instance, you know what I'm not going to ever be able to do anymore is play sound. I'm not going to be able to hit buttons.
Yeah, I kind of like
I'm not
going to
be able to do this.
My little pony. Yeah, she
but
won't be able to do
I'm
that anymore.
Not, I'm not going to play this.
My little pony.
To have better sound for you guys. So just know that when Glenn says My Little Pony, that in our heads, that's playing.
Well, you know, one of the things we will be able to do, and we'll go over all of this again in more detail on Friday, but one of the things we will be able to do is we'll be able to play spontaneous sound. Right now, any sound we want to play, we actually have to load into the system, but I will be able to go to a YouTube video. You know, in the past, you've said, can you play that sound for us? Well, and I haven't been able to because I didn't have it ready. Well, I'll be able to do that now. We'll be able to do a lot of those different things that we couldn't do before, and it's thanks to new technology. So the technology has caught up that we can do this now. So hopefully it'll all work. If you want to hear a nightmare, listen in on Tuesday morning. It could be.
Thanks. Good times. Hey, question.
Yes.
So are we still going? Because I know we talked about this, but, you know, I don't really have to listen all the time. Are we going to be live still?
Yes, we will be live. There would be a new player. There's a service that we'll be using called MixLR for that, and it seems to work really, really well. And the player is actually a better player and works on more formats than the Blog Talk player. So it won't change. You'll still go to the same place as you always did on the website or on your phone. You go to the website or whatever to listen to the show. It'll just link you to the new player. So as far as the listener is concerned, nothing that way will change. We're even looking into whether we can put this new player on our app. The app designer is looking into that to see if hopefully we can, you'll be able to listen to a live show then on the app too. At this point,
oh, cool.
You won't be able to until we figure that out. But required an investment in equipment and to, you know, everything to get it done. I'll post a picture of my new studio up there, which we had to change a lot of things. It just means I have more computers on my desk now. So.
Well, it just means that you guys being auditors just helps that much more. And we really appreciate you guys and love you for chipping in and helping us continue to do this show. Because as you know, the world of podcasting really isn't that lucrative. So the help that we do get from the auditors, we really, really, really heartfelt appreciation to y'all. And if you want to be an auditor, you can donate up to like $1 a month. Glenn? Tell them where to go.
Just go to horsesinthemorning.com. There's a banner right in the middle of the page. You'll see it there. And for as little as $1 a month, you can play. And about 10 or 15 of them tonight will be helping us do this live show. And it should be fun. We're just going to goof off and practice. So it should be fun. All right. So
let's
go to our first guest. He is ready, Jamie.
Well, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, and I wanted to know because my favorite type of bedding is straw. I think it smells the best. I think it looks the best. I think it's the fluffiest for the horse, and Glenn hates cleaning it, so it makes me like it even
more.
Well,
what horse husband likes cleaning straw? It's awful. It takes you 12 hours to clean a stall, and then your wife yells at you because you miss stuff because you can't find it underneath the piles of straw. Just saying.
Simmer down now. The problem is what Glenn just said. So we
I got a few more. You want me to add to the list?
No, stop talking. We actually found a guy, a company that makes the pelleted bedding in straw form, and we welcome Brian Custer to the show. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning from northern Wisconsin. How are you folks today?
Well, I was just about to ask where you're calling from. So northern Wisconsin, what's it? Let's see, it's May 20th. So northern Wisconsin has to be at least 18 degrees by now.
Yeah, and the snow is
finally
melting.
Well, it warmed up to 28 last night.
Oh, great.
It warmed to 28 degrees. Yep. We're getting there. God. Summer's coming. We know. We just don't know when.
I thought I was joking, but apparently not. They don't have mosquitoes yet, Glenn, I bet.
No. We started before them this
year. Not yet. No, wow. That's right. You folks start early there. You get to jump on us. You're lucky.
Yeah,
up here, yeah, it's when they start, they're bad. But it's a shorter season because obviously we only have like 4 months of summer here. So such is life.
That's generous, too. I've been to northern Wisconsin. It's pretty brutal. I was in August, and I was putting on a coat at night. And I thought, this can't be normal. Like, how do these people live here? Well, you do.
Yeah, we're half crazy. That's it.
Yeah. And I guess you have plenty of land out there to grow straw and make it into straw pellets. So tell us about your company.
Well, White River Ag is a seed farm that produces high-quality grains, barley, wheat, oats, ryegrass, stuff like that. And grow corn and soybeans, and we make our own seed mixes and sell bagged product, of course, of the finished grains that we produce. It's roughly 2,500 acres here, and part of our process is to take our waste straw from our grain production and to bring it in and process it into the straw pellets that we're talking about today. And that's a big part of our operation now.
Really? So has that changed over time? All of a sudden, like the past couple of years, has pellets become more popular?
Yes, in our region, it definitely has. And in the areas that we are starting to sell more, especially in the northeast of Maine, Pennsylvania, through there, it tends to take hold. And once people see it, it grows on them, and it kind of spiders out from there. So parts of the Midwest, parts of the Northeast, we've actually sold quite a bit and continue to grow the business. It's quite a fascinating process. In the end, you're just looking at basically pulverized processed straw that's in a pellet. And so, of course, it's highly absorptive and easy to spread, easy to pick. And the other nice thing about it is it hits almost 250 degrees, which means it bakes out the bulk of any mold and allergens that may be present. So we go a long way to really helping an overall air quality program for any barn or any stall. So a lot of advantages to it.
Yeah, no kidding. So I'm only familiar, and most of our listeners are probably just familiar with the shaving pellets, the wood chip pellets. What are the differences there? Is it absorbent? Does it grow? Do you just put the thing down? Do you have to hose it down? What do you do?
Well, a couple things. When we talk about a pelleted straw, you're talking about a very highly absorptive product. As compared to a typical wood-based pellet, this stuff, if you take a bar cup, a 16-ounce plastic bar cup, and if you fill it halfway full of pellets and then fill it all the way to the top with water, over the course of about the next 10 to 12, maybe 15 minutes, those pellets are going to absorb all of that water, and they'll expand quite nicely. And then you can add some more water and they'll suck up some more. And so they're highly absorptive. It's a little slower of a process. And we like that because when an animal of any size, you know, wets on a pile of pellets, it tends to run through to the bottom as opposed to being right next to the animal and then break down from the bottom up, if you will. So they're real easy to spread, highly absorptive. And one of the best things about them is that finished product is one of the best garden fertilizers or garden additives that you'll ever run into. We grow vegetables here too in the Northland. And the actual raw product right from the mill, the pellets, before they've been even used for animals, is used in our gardening processes for helping aerate the soil, loosen the soil, provide instant organic content, which of course means a healthy root zone and of course healthy vegetables. So your wood fiber takes longer to break down to become actually, you know, less acidic or quicker to use in the soil, so to speak. So the straw pellets, you can just go right at it, and you'll notice an instant difference.
Yeah, so, because when I lived in Kentucky, they would take, you know, you have the manure spreaders, and you throw the straw, and then they go out to a pasture, and they spread it. But you don't do that with wood chips because it kills the grass. So you're saying that this, you can spread, and it actually helps?
Absolutely. The only concern that you would have would be whether or not you had any composting concerns of the actual manure itself. The different manures have different requirements for composting time. But as far as the pellet or the actual straw fibers themselves, They're ready to go at any time. You can take them right out of the bag and dump them in the field and see an instant change in your soil. Or you can use it with your animals, and as long as there's no limitation on the manure part, it'll be an incredible instant additive to any growing process. We use it for emulsion to grapes. We use it for emulsion blueberries. We use it in the fall when we plant garlic, rototill it nice and deep to maintain a really loose root zone. So it's really fantastic. And as far as air quality in a stall, if you have an animal that's got any sort of respiratory sensitivities, this has really been beneficial to them, because we've all taken a big old shovel full of wood shavings and you flip it up over top of an animal just to hit that back corner or whatever, and all of a sudden, poof, you've got this kind of cloud of wood fiber. And some of us are sensitive to it, some of us are not, but you really reduce that hugely with the with the straw pellets. So it's really nice that way too.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, it sounds just awesome. So when we buy it from you guys, you buy it in a 50-pound bag, 20-pound bag, and what is the bag?
There are 40-pound bags, and there's 50 of them on a pallet, on a 40-by-48 pallet, and we also do ship semi-load bulk direct, and the price is going to vary greatly by region depending on freight. Freight's the big the big unknown. So yeah, there's a lot of ways to get it. We can also do it in super bags, which are right around 1,200 pounds. So if a person wanted to buy just a big old bulk bag, they could do that too. And obviously, of course, the greater the volume, the better the pricing is, like with any product.
So if I was to drive up to White River Ag and I said, I would like one bag of straw pellets, kind of, what is the price of them? Are they way more expensive than wood, or about the same, or cheaper?
Right out of the gate, you'll pay more than wood. It's a different product altogether. Through the life cycle, we think it balances out better. And of course, everyone's got a different way they run that calculation. But for the most part, you will pay more if you put a pound of pellets and a pound of wood shaving side by side. And again, every market is so different; it's really difficult to say exactly on pricing. But through the life cycle, it's pretty good. So you'll pay anywhere in northern Wisconsin, $5.50 a bag for 40 pounds.
And how many bags does it take to do a stall?
Usually we start out, folks. Four or five bags, maybe half a dozen, just to sort of get the area started. And then it's a maintenance program from there. So as you pick, as Glenn was mentioning earlier, boy, it's hard to sometimes find, the what you want to get out of there in regular straw. With the pellets, it just comes right through the tines so easily. And as those break down, they form a nice soft mat. And so what you'll be doing is maintenance. So if you have a 15-hand horse and he piddles in one spot, That's a lot of water, and so you'll be probably hitting that area harder with pellets. But it's not where you're going to be going in and stripping the stall every 3 days. It's more of a maintenance phase.
Geez, Jamie, you combine it with the shake and fork, you got it made. It'd be easy.
You're done in 2 minutes. Yeah. So I what I like about this is several fold. As a person who really thinks that we should, preserve our earth, the fact that you're not cutting down trees and doing it, you're actually replanting and growing the straw, then cutting it down, replanting, growing. So it's actually a little bit more environmentally friendly. It goes back out into the environment a lot friendlier. So you may pay a little bit more upfront. It lasts longer. I see no downside. I see no downside, Brian. I'm in.
Well, that's good to hear. I should also mention it's non-GMO too. All the grain products are non-GMO, so that's nice.
Speaking my language, if it's vegan, we are sold.
Well, they do make soybeans. So is soybeans still vegan? So yeah, the farm. It's helping you out, Jamie.
We're non-GMO straw pellets. You got to put that on the label. You'll sell 20 times more.
The benefits of the product front to back, we're finding people are getting more and more creative with them. We've got poultry breeders now looking at them for their birds. We got mushroom farmers.
Why not?
Mushroom farmers are finding it's a phenomenal mushroom growing medium because it's been processed, and so there's nothing, you know, again, most of any sort of spores or whatever that might be in naturally occurring in straw are baked and cooked out, so they have a almost, we can't say a pure product, but one that provides a really clean medium for them to be able to grow their mushrooms.
Brian, I could talk to you about this for a lot longer than I should, but what is your website so if people want more information, they can go check it out?
Well, the website is White River Ag, Ag standing for agriculture, whiteriverag.com. And we've got, it's actually fairly pictorial. You can see a spot for garden pellets and a spot for bedding pellets, and it'll go into a little greater detail. If you want to see the vegetables that we produce with the pellets, there's a website called Northern Garden of Life, northerngardenoflife.com. That's and I believe that on that site, too, there might be some photos of the pellets in action.
Oh, my gosh, that's fantastic. Well, Brian, we've got to let you go, but I thank you so much for coming on and telling us about this, and hopefully you'll be getting an order from Phoenix here. Just kidding. I'm not going to ship it to Phoenix, but when I move closer, I'm going to get it. But for those of our listeners that are in that area, and you guys do this, let me know how it works. I think it's such a great idea. Brian Custer from White River Ag, whiteriverag.com. Thank you so much for coming on and telling us about your product.
Thanks a lot for having me on your show. Sure, I've enjoyed it. Take
care.
Thanks,
Brian.
Take care. Thanks.
That might even be horse husband approved. That'd be about the only way straw is horse husband approved.
I just don't see a downside. I mean, you can, it composts so much better than wood. Makes a lot of sense.
One of the things about, and he talked about that, one of the things about wood, especially the pellets, and we used them for a lot of years, was the dust. You'd have to water it down every morning to keep the dust down. When you go to clean the stalls, especially if you used like a shake and fork, you'd be dusted out of there. So yeah, and apparently they don't have that problem. So that's kind of neat. I wonder how many other farms are doing that, you know, are actually starting to do this process. They obviously figured that out. 2,500 acres, too, in Wisconsin. That's a big farm.
Wow, that's huge.
Yeah. Well, Jennifer is going to tell us a little bit. Back on Track Products is our sponsor for today. And she, about 2 weeks ago, Jennifer, you've been having problems with your knee, which has been a problem for years. And she takes glucosamine and all that stuff. And just recently she tweaked it, so she's been having problems with her knee. But you went to a local tack shop and you got yourselves a Back on Track knee brace, right?
I did. I was sick and tired of my El Cheapo knee brace that I picked up at the local drugstore. It's hot, it's sticky, it's sweaty, it's hard to get on and off in the summertime. I'm just sick of it. So I went to the tack shop, and yay, tack shop carries Back on Track people products as well as horse products. And
nice.
I picked up the knee brace, and I got the one, I think they call it the knee brace with strap. It has an extra little strap on the top. And cut to the chase, I love it. I don't know what Back on Track makes their stretchy parts out of. Obviously, it's got the ceramic-infused threads, but it is much, much, get this, cooler than the inexpensive one. I don't know why, but it's much cooler. I don't get all sticky and sweaty underneath. And it's taller, so it goes like halfway up your thigh and then about halfway down your calf, so it stays in place a lot better. So, and I wear it while I'm doing the show. Matter of fact, I'm standing in here wearing it right now. And I also wear it in the afternoons for a couple hours, so I do it like twice a day. And then I can just wear it when I'm riding. It fits neatly under my riding breeches because it's pretty slim. So I'm in love with my Back on Track knee brace. So folks out there who have knee issues of any sort, whether they're just plain old crinkly knees or knees that have been damaged because of injury, I recommend you try it. I love it.
You know, we forget to mention a lot of times the people products, but they have back braces. They even have boxer shorts. Don't you have like the boxer shorts, Jamie? Didn't you get the boxer shorts one time?
They're boxer briefs, Glenn.
Oh, okay.
And
Sorry.
I bought them for Chad. However, I wear them. I sleep in them. It's great. I mean, it goes all the way up to my lower back, and my lower back always hurts. And I don't know what it's supposed to do for your parts, your boy parts, but for my girl parts, like, no comment. I have it. It's great.
They also do elbow braces and normal stuff, too, back and neck and all of that. But they have a whole line of people products. You can find them at backontrackproducts.com. If your local tech shop is not like ours and doesn't carry the people products, you can find it on their website. That's the simplest way to go. show. And of course, everything with Back on Track is 100% satisfaction guaranteed. If it doesn't work for you, send it back and they will give you your money back. BackOnTrackProducts.com. Well, now we're going to go and talk a little horse health today, like we do on every Wednesday. So we got to start with this.
It's time for the Horses in the Morning Horse Health Report, when our intrepid hosts, together with an unlucky member of the equine veterinary trade, attempt to inform, enlighten, or terrify horse owners everywhere into funding a Kickstarter campaign to mass-produce Kevlar-coated, bubble-wrap-lined equine products.
Well, today on our Horse Health segment, I don't think we're going to be terrifying too much. We have back with us, returning, Dr. Mark from Equine Performax at the Jekyll Center, which is located about 30 minutes south of Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Dr. Mark.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good. Hey, you know what I really need, Dr. Mark? If you could invent this, it'd be great, is Kevlar-lined clothing to keep the mosquitoes from eating us alive here in Florida. Can you arrange that?
I'll see what we can do about that, Glenn.
All right, good, good.
That would probably be a big, that'd be a big seller, I'm sure.
It would, it would. You could make bazillions of dollars. Well, you're with the with Equine Performax, which is a therapy center there at the Jekyll Center in Tennessee, and you've been with us before on the show. And today we're going to talk about a therapy that I'm excited to hear about. And I saw one of these for the first time. They had one set up at Live Oak International at the big driving show not too far from us this year, and they had one of these set up, and the one you're going to talk about is called an Aqua Pacer. Other people might know them as an Aqua Treadmill, but tell us about it and you know what it does, what it's for, and what horses are benefited by the Aqua Pacer.
Well, we utilize it a lot in our rehabilitation cases, horses that are coming back from injury tremendously. We also use it quite a bit for horses that are older horses that are campaigners that probably don't need all the pounding that they normally get with the daily training regimen, but can go onto the treadmill and do the kind of work that strengthens and produces endurance and that sort of thing without taking all the pounding. As far as the rehabilitative cases, we get these horses back to work a lot quicker because putting them in the treadmill, they're going to be walking, but with the water, it provides buoyancy that is going to take pressure off of the lower limbs as they're doing their exercise on the treadmill. So it's very beneficial from that aspect in that these horses are continuing to do work. They're not just standing in the stall, the old method of just standing in the stall and doing nothing, maybe doing some hand walking, just doesn't have the same effectiveness that we can have with putting them in the treadmill where there's some resistance against the muscles and so therefore it's providing strength.
Now let's describe
losing any.
I was just going to say let's describe what the thing actually looks like. It's you want to describe it so people who are listening get an idea of what it looks like and what happens.
Yeah, sure. You can go on our website and see what they look like for a little better idea of what it looks like than just my description, but it's pretty much a treadmill that's in a tank. The horses, it opens at both ends. The horses walk into the tank and come in through the back door. There's a front door where they actually exit the tank, and then it's closed in on them. They begin to walk on the treadmill, and it gradually fills with water. We'll take them up to above the point of the shoulder. Initially, when we first start them into getting used to the treadmill, we'll just walk them through it a few times, just getting them used to enter into the tank and exit and get comfortable with that. And then we'll start the treadmill and get them used to walking on the treadmill. Some horses that haven't ever been on that might not be very experienced with that or be a little apprehensive with getting on the treadmill. Once they become comfortable with that, we start adding water. And initially, we just fill it not completely full like we would once they're used to it. But just up to their knees. And these horses, when they're at that kind of level, they really have a lot of range of motion, which is kind of beneficial in a lot of cases of just reestablishing range of motion in an affected joint. But they'll splash around a lot with that, and there's a lot of water splashing up into their face and onto their belly and that sort of thing. So you kind of got to get them used to that. And once they're comfortable with that, then we'll start taking them up into full depth. And that's when they really start doing the work that really puts the pressure on the muscles and really helps provide strength in the muscles. Also stability of the joints, which is where the real benefit from the treadmill comes in.
I got to tell you, the first time I looked at the picture, I'm sure I'm not the only one that thought this. Maybe I am. But when I first looked at the picture, I went, if they open the back door to put the horse in, all that water is going to flood out. I did not realize. I always thought, how are they going to walk them into that water? I didn't realize you filled it after. So that made a lot more sense when
yeah.
I figured that out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. it fills quite rapidly. It's amazing how fast that thing will fill up. And how fast they can get it drained also. The water just kind of comes from all different areas, and it will fill quite rapidly. So, yeah, look, it's just wide open, and when it closes up, it seals quite well. We can take it up to above the point of the shoulder.
Now, this obviously is meant to keep some of the pressure off when you have a horse that's recovering and you want to keep some of the pressure off the joints, yet you still want them to get some exercise. What is the difference between this and swimming them in the pool?
Well, with the pool, they are going to get complete buoyancy. There's not going to be any weight bearing on them at all. But I really like the treadmill in that. In the pool, they're going to get into an inverted state in their back. They're going to have to lift their head to try to keep it up out of the water. And so they're going to extend their back rather than going to flexion with their back. And in so many cases, that's just not what we really want. Also, there's a lot more, you know, swimming is not really something that horses are naturally want to do. And they'll certainly do it, but it's a little bit more of a panic situation for a lot of them. And so, therefore, if you ever see those horses underwater, there's a lot of flailing that's going around in there, and not quite as a controlled type of exercise as what it is on the treadmill. Now, certainly, you're going to get the 100% buoyancy, which is beneficial in a lot of cases. But like I say, there's just a lot more activity going on with the legs. Well, in the treadmill, the kind of work they're going to be doing, there's not going to be the flexion of the or extension of the back. There's going to be flexion of the back, which the horse is going to kind of go with its head down and actually work through that water a lot more. And it seems to be a lot more beneficial for building top line, especially in a lot of our sport horses. That's where they really need the strength being built up is along the top line.
I know when we had a conversation about this with Reese and Phillip over in the Dressage Radio show, they both said, we just don't swim our horses. We don't swim the dressage horses, and that's the reason. You know, they want that top line. They want the roundness, so they don't want them hollowing out their backs like that.
Correct, exactly. Yeah, and it's huge difference if you ever watch them go. Matter of fact, sometimes with some of our smaller horses, we have to kind of watch that when they're in the treadmill, if they're wanting to take their head up, we might drop the water down just a little bit from just to make sure that they are rounding out in their back.
Oh, they don't think they're swimming. Yeah.
Exactly. Right.
Now, what do
right.
you, how long? So, you know, and I realize this is subjective, but I'm just trying to get some vague idea here. So your horses are usually there for treatment. They're staying there for a period of time, recovering from an injury or something, a surgery or whatever they've had. And if it's if it's some kind of joint or muscle injury, how will you put them in it every day? Is it a once a day thing? Is it a twice a day thing? Is it for a week, 2 weeks, or is it just completely dependent upon the horse and the injury?
Well, a lot of it is certainly dependent on the injury and where they are in their rehab. Initially, we'll start off, you know, when we're first coming back from an injury, say a suspensory ligament injury, a bow tendon, something like that, it's not going to be every day a week of the week. It's going to be typically 3 days a week, and we'll build them up to where they are going in it every day of the week. And And then as they're farther along into that rehab, we'll actually start taking them out of the treadmill and then starting to get back onto their back, you know, just for the loading. And so that's where it's beneficial here. Not only do we have the therapy part, we have an excellent trainer, Michelle Zimmers, here, and she'll have a rider. She's got several riders here that she will have start to get back on the horse. And so as the process goes on, we kind of convert from the full time in the treadmill back to putting some actual under saddle work to bring these horses back.
And I'll post the link.
So as far as the length of time that it will be here, we've had horses, you know, from, just like I say, depending on the degree of injury, but some horses, we had a very nice Grand Prix jumper that was here for, he was here for like 6 months, but he had like a 50% tear of his superficial flexor tendon that he came back and went back to the show ring much quicker than any horse I would have ever imagined getting back with that type of injury, simply because we were able to keep him fit, not just you know, rehabilitating that injury, but to maintain his level of fitness as far as the rest of his body, that he wasn't losing all that by just standing around in a stall and hand walking. You can't stimulate that same type of exercise and maintain their level of fitness just with hand walking like you can going into the treadmill.
I got to tell you, you have a video, I'm going to post it on our Facebook page right now. It's a video, and just goes to show you that this isn't just for horses, because you have a video up there of a miniature pony that competes in combined driving, I think. And he actually comes in there and does a couple times a week just to stay in condition and ready to go.
That's exactly right. He's quite amazing on that thing. He really loves it. He enjoys it. When he comes out of that trailer, he's headed straight for it, and he really gets into his work on there. And it's real beneficial for, like I said, for the old campaigner, the guys that, you know, they know their job. They don't necessarily need all that pounding and training and that sort of thing, but they need to maintain a level of fitness without the type of work that they have to go through. So a lot of the older horses will come here to spend time on the treadmill, to maintain their level of fitness without the pounding. And these horses do much better back in the show ring, because they're fit, they're comfortable, and they haven't been overstressed with the type of typical training that we're doing. And so often we try, and, you know, with those horses, the trainer will try to back off of them to you know, for soundness issues. But when they're backing off of them, they're also losing strength and stability of joints that predisposes them to other injuries besides those things that they're actually dealing with. So the treadmill work for the horse that is actually actively showing is extremely beneficial.
And where can people see the pictures and find out more about the different things that you do at the Jekyll Center and Equine Performax?
Well, they can go to our website, equineperformax.com, and see all those things and see the all the different modalities that we have here at the Jekyll Center, and see the beautiful facility that we have, and it's just a great place.
And we're going to have you back to talk about more of those modalities and the different things we can do for our horses that are in treatment for therapy or just staying in shape. And we're going to have you back to talk more about that. Thank you, Dr. Mark. It's Equine Performax. That's M-A-X at the end there, equineperformax.com. And we'll have you back soon.
Okay, thank you so much, Glenn. Jamie, it's a pleasure to talk to you.
All right, thanks, Dr. Mark.
Thanks, Dr. Mark.
He's a good guy. And you got to watch the video I just posted on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning of the little mini doing it. He just loves it. It's like he's like having a great time in there. It's like a whirlpool. It's so funny.
Minis can find fun doing anything, too.
That's true.
It's so great. I just love them.
That is true. Well, let's speaking of health, let's hear from our friends Buy Me to Dewormer, the best dewormers out there. And then I have a special treat for Jamie, Peace, Love, and Horses by Jared Rogers. Her
Yay!
Favorite song. We all know the importance of deworming our horses, and Dr. Ellefson of Buy Me to Equine is helping us make sure we are doing it right. Listen for his four-part series the first week of every month on this very show. I just wanted to remind everyone, if you are due for deworming, why not save a few bucks on the popular Bimeda line of wormers, including Equimax, Bimectin, Exodus, Exodus Multidose, and Equil. You can find coupons and special offers at buymediaequine.com, including a variety of rebate offers from cash to free ivermectin. You can also get up to $2 a dose back for Equimax. And while you're at Bimeda Equine, get your free horse health record keeper, and you can just download it there. Plus, learn a bunch about parasites and deworming at Bimeda, that's B-I-M-E-D-A, equine.com. We at the Horse Radio Network all use Bimeda dewormers because we want the best for our horses, and we know you want the best for yours, too. Bimeda, equine.com, and tell them the Horse Radio Network sent you.
Wildflowers in her hair. She can go anywhere on that Palomino mare. She's got Rocky Mountain ivory that she wears around her neck. And the Grateful Dead plays songs in her head somewhere between. She's all about peace, love, horses, and me. She could end the war with just a smile. She can drive a tractor, baling hay for miles and miles. But the pages are the same. It's certain as a river in the spring. You seal a deal with a handshake. That's her philosophy. She can rope and ride, and she likes hanging out with me. She believes that love is one thing that can't change anything. And she loves me, and that's the part that gets me. She's all about peace, love, horses, and me.
That was Jared Rogerson, Peace, Love, and Horses. Jamie's favorite song. Say thank you.
Yeah, I love that song. I love that song. Thank you.
You're welcome. I figured you probably needed that. You've been home now without the husband for, what, about 5 days? And I figured it was probably starting to get to you right about now.
So. Let's go with 5, 7, 8, and 10. Thanks. That's 10. 10. But he's counting.
Who's counting? Who's counting? Well, we are glad that you're here on, listening to us on Horses in the Morning. I am here, Glenn the Geek, here with Jamie Jennings. Coach Jen is in the producer chair, as we have been for 5 years doing this show. And we appreciate that you're there listening. We are we're brought to you today, of course, by Back on Track Products at backontrackproducts.com. Couple news things here. I just wanted to say a thank you to a horse called Dakota. He's a Tennessee walking horse, and he has been working with the police department in St. Louis for 20 years. He's been representing the police department out there, Dakota has, for 20 years, and they retired him last month, and he's going to be going back to his original owner, believe it or not, after 20 years, and going to be a pasture horse in his retirement and just hang out eating grass. So good for him, and congratulations to Dakota. He's been patrolling in St. Louis, doing mounted patrol in the Forest Park area, and apparently he's the most recognizable one of the police horses there, and he's going to be dearly missed. So, and what a cool thing, the policeman that got to ride the Tennessee Walker, who was not as sore as the one riding the Thoroughbred, I'm sure. So,
oh yeah, just shuffle along.
Yep.
Now I have a story for you too. This is really cool. You know, Cosmic One, Zenyatta's first baby, has been in training with John Sheriffs, and he ran his first race, came in last out of six, but he was the only one who'd never run before, so he was still learning. Well, he is now joined by his brother, Zyconic, the unraced foal of Zenyatta, the second foal, has now headed to the barn of John Sheriffs as well. So he just left his Mayberry farm in Ocala, Florida, which is where he was for his training. Is that near you guys, Glenn?
Yes, I think it is. Yep.
Oh, you could have gone and met him. Zyconic has graduated from Mayberry Farm, and now he's up at Belmont Stakes, or Belmont Park. So he is with John Sheriffs and his brother. I wonder if they're stabled next to each other. That has to be adorable to take pictures.
So at Belmont now, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, and so he's a chestnut, and then Cosmic One is the bay. I'm like, listen to these bloodlines. Tappet, who is the hottest mm-hmm. stud of the entire year. Tappet and Zenyatta make Zyconic. And then Bernardini and Zenyatta make Cosmic One. I mean, you can't get more royally bred horses than that. So I can't wait to see what they're going to do. Just amazing. And let me just pour a little out for poor little Z Princess, who isn't with us anymore. But oh my gosh, can you imagine? So she's got to be bred already. We should be finding out soon if she's Zenyatta's in foal.
Right. Yeah. So they what skipped 1 year. And so she should be in foal now.
Do you know what? That's what you can do when you have the money that they have, is you just go, oh, you know what? Let's give her a year. Because apparently Ann Moss, who owns her, is like super holistic and like, yeah, she needs a break, which I just love. So I can't wait to find out about it.
Hey, do you remember?
I'm going to call Charles. Charles.
Yeah, call stalk Charles some more, see if how well that goes. Do you remember a while back, you brought us the story, actually, of Walmart.horse? Do you remember there's a website called
yes.
Walmart.horse, and on it was nothing but a picture of a Walmart with a horse superimposed over it. And
they like put a cease and desist order out for the website owner.
Yes, that's
saying
right.
That it's dangerous to have horses in parking lots.
That's right. Jeff
crazy.
Jocks. Jeff Jock. Jocks. I don't know how you say his last name. He's French. He is the one that did it, and he has a website called Questionable Content. And he put it up just as a joke. Well, it became viral, and then Walmart had a hissy fit. Walmart actually, there's an update to this story. Walmart actually went to the story says wasted additional time and money by taking the complaint to the World Intellectual Property Organization, who controls domain names, and sought to take over Walmart.horse underneath the Uniform Domain Name Dispute Resolution Policy. Well, believe it or not, they didn't win. And finally, this guy, this Jeff, gave up and said, look, I'm tired of fighting Walmart. This just isn't worth it for this stupid picture I put up. And he ended up taking it down. And since then, Walmart has acquired Walmart.horse and now owns it. Now, I went there this morning and it doesn't go anywhere. It's just a broken page. So they haven't really done anything with it. It would have been great if they had like superimposed a different horse over the Walmart, or some Walmarts actually sell horse stuff. They should have just had to go to like the horse department of the Walmart.com. I don't know. But apparently they were so pissed it just goes nowhere anymore. So Walmart won. They took it over. They have it now.
That is why Walmart is the devil. So, you know.
There, and what the article did say, though, is that generic top-level domains like .horse, .bike, there's a lot of dots now. .sucks is the newest one, by the way. Can you imagine all the websites coming out now that are going to be .sucks? It's going to be every ex-wife's first name, Melissa.sucks. You know, it's just going to be, there's going to be a ton of new websites. And they said that this problem that corporations have, like Walmart had with this, is going to become a nightmare because everybody's
going to they're opening a huge can. I mean, is it S-U-C-K-S or S-U-X?
S-U-C-K-S. dot S-U-K-S.
Well, there's nothing on Walmart.sucks, but I'm pretty sure I need to buy that domain immediately after.
Well, it's funny because the last line of this said, however, anyone looking to register a URL like Walmart.sucks is going to have to pay top dollar. There you go. Can you imagine the websites we're going to see coming out, though, with .sucks? Oh, my.
Horsesinthemorning.sucks. Let me type that in.
I better buy that one quick.
Yeah.
I better buy that one quick. That's, you know, I got an email the other day from a lady who, you're going to laugh at this. I got an email from a lady, I won't mention names, who wrote to me and said, I listened to your show for 3 minutes and I had to quit. You didn't even mention the word horse in the first 3 minutes of your show. That was the email I got. That was all of it.
That's not true. That's not true.
Yeah,
the very beginning of the show, the first thing that we say is horses in the morning.
That's
true. So we mentioned horses in the first 3 minutes.
As a matter of fact, we said
now,
about...
I might not have mentioned it again for the next 15 minutes, but you know.
Actually, we say horses in the morning on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you by whoever. Good morning, Horse World. That's three, you B-I-T-C, whatever.
Yeah, she didn't listen well enough, apparently. You know, we tell people, let's give the show a week. You got to figure it all out. Some of people have been listening, a lot of people, thousands of people have been listening for 5 years. So, you know, they know what's happening. There's some inside jokes. So you really got to listen for a week to really figure out what's going on.
It takes a little while to get you brainwashed.
You know,
really
3 minutes is probably not long enough for anything. You know, nothing, but just saying.
I'd hate to be her husband.
Or maybe that's where she got her intolerance for anything over 3 minutes.
I'm sorry, that was funny.
All right, we're waiting for Victoria to show up here. You want to continue doing a couple news stories?
Well, I you know, we've had this list for quite a while, and I wanted to know I like this list, the top 15 dogs for outdoor adventuring, because every horse owner has a dog. And these are the 15 dogs that are the best if you have an out-of-doors lifestyle. And you found this list, and I don't want to take it from you.
No,
anything,
go ahead.
But,
actually, Jennifer found it. So you're taking it from her.
Oh, Jennifer did.
We can take stuff from her.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that's okay. That's a dog. The top 15 dogs, and let me go ahead and I'll throw the word horse in every four or five words just so this woman doesn't get mad.
Yeah, we don't want people to get mad at us.
Horse owners need, number 15 is German short-haired pointers. German short-haired pointers. I can't pull a German short-haired pointer on the top of my brain, so I'd have to Google it, but it's a hunting dog. Number four is the Shetland Sheepdog. Now, is the Shetland Sheepdog a Sheltie?
Yes. Well, no.
Okay.
No. I mean, not always, but yeah, I mean, my, you know what? My mom and dad had Shelties, and I wouldn't consider them good outdoor adventuring dogs. Just saying. They were kind of prissy.
No? Okay, it is a Sheltie.
Yeah, well, they were kind of prissy. They're
Well, you're
Tammy's Sheltie's a good outdoor dog.
Yeah, Tammy has one that's good. I guess it depends on which one. We had the spoiled Sheltie version, so maybe that's why it was.
Oh, yeah. I had a Sheltie mix, and it was the greatest dog I've ever owned. So I love that breed. Actually, that's kind of what I thought Danny was going to look like, being a border collie and mini Australian shepherd, toy Aussie. And she's nothing like a Sheltie, nothing. Number 13, one of my best friends here in Phoenix has one of these, a Vizsla.
A what?
And
sounds like a car.
A Vizsla, they're... It's a Vizsla.
Or a motor scooter.
Four-wheel drive.
Yeah.
Yeah, they sound like a motor
scooter. Yeah. A
Vizsla. Things that... Vizsla, just Google it. They're brown, and they're kind of like... They're like the brown version of a Weimaraner, I should say. And this dog is super... I mean, she's like 15, and she has such high energy.
I almost think that top
15 dogs for outdoor adventuring, what they mean to say is the top 15 most hyper dogs that you have to take outside to wear their ass out to make them decent right. to live with.
That's right. That's
because
right.
Because continuing in that vein is
oh, wait a minute.
12.
While you're riding your horse. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. When you have to gallop and have your dog follow you.
Yes.
Somewhere how
on
English shepherds not make the list.
On your horse. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Just clarify.
Yeah, on a horse. Horse, yes. horse.
Yes, go ahead.
We got Dalmatian. Victoria's actually on hold, so we can bring her on. She probably has a dog. And number 11 was Doberman. 10 was the Australian cattle dog, which are just high energy. Number 9, horse person dog like crazy, the Jack Russell Terrier. Now, Victoria, what kind of dogs are popular over in England for horse people?
Everybody at Badminton has a Labrador, a Jack Russell, or a Springer Spaniel. So those are the three iconic classic breeds. But you're getting a few other ones. Lots of Dachshunds are becoming more popular. And Passerdale Terriers, Border Terriers. But yeah, those are the ones that you see most often at horsey events.
Okay, so number 8 is a Rat Terrier, they're saying. These are the top dogs for outdoor adventures. Rat Terrier... I know I have a friend that has a farm that has one of those and it like digs up everything on purpose. Like it hunts things, you know. Number 7 is a Rhodesian Ridgeback.
They're
I
cool.
knew a lot of people in Kentucky that had those
yeah,
and they are
cool.
really cool.
Very cool dogs. Yep.
Did you know they were originally bred to hunt lions in Africa?
Well, there you go. If I ever go to Africa and need some help, we'll get a Rhodesian Ridgeback. To go with me.
Yeah, there
yeah.
you go.
Yeah.
Number 6, I know a lot of our listeners have these. Australian Shepherd is number 6. Number 5, the Weimaraner. We just mentioned the Weimaraner. Gosh, I just don't. Chad wanted one so bad, and I was like, I will leave you. Like, that is it. I cannot have a Weimaraner. Like, because I train it, and those dogs are seriously, if you have a Weimaraner and it's super trained, I want to see a video. Again, these are the top 15 dogs for outdoor adventuring. We're down to number 4, Siberian Husky. If you live in, I don't know,
Siberia.
Alaska. Yeah.
That's right.
Siberia. Number 3 is what Victoria just said, the Labrador Retriever. The Labrador Retriever. They are supposed to be weatherproof, waterproof, and tenacious. Number 2 is my favorite breed, the Border Collie. They are considered one of the most intelligent. And the number 1 dog that is for outdoor adventuring is the Mutt. That's right, the Mutt. Go get yourself a shelter dog and take it to the barn. They're going to be the best. They are a quirky mix of breeds whose lineage is charmingly unique. So the Mutt comes in at number 1. Hello, Victoria.
Hello. I was enjoying that list there.
Oh, good. Do you have a dog?
I did. It's a sad story. She got let out when she was with a dog walker. He let her out and she got killed on the road a few years ago. So and she was a beautiful little Jack Russell, very naughty and very opinionated. I keep psyching myself up to get another dog, but I haven't found one as cute as her. So the search continues.
Well, I'll send you the list of perfect outdoor dogs, but the main thing is the mutt. Go for that.
Well, no, I can't let that go. Wait a minute. I can't let that go. So you had an opinionated, frisky little dog, and they say owners match their dogs. If I talked to your boyfriend, would he say that? Owner match dog?
I think he'd say we were both too opinionated and difficult to control, but I never bit the postman on the ankle. So.
Man, why do dogs hate postmen? It's crazy. It's
I think it's the rattling. They hate the rattling of the door.
Oh,
and
yeah,
my little dog Daily used to jump up and rip the letters to shreds. So
yeah.
It was always a bit of an issue.
Which is okay for the bills, not so good for any checks you've gotten in the mail. So.
Yes, indeed. Those don't come very often, unfortunately.
Yeah, and nobody writes letters anymore, so shred away.
Exactly.
And so what is going on Horse and Country TV?
Well, we had Windsor Horse Show at the weekend, which we discussed briefly last week, which is obviously the Queen's Back Garden. It's a great show, and it saw the Grand Prix being won by Irish rider Dermot Lennon, who hadn't competed at Windsor for 10 years, and then strolls back and wins the feature class. So that was great for him.
And what is his horse? And this is the Grand Prix show jumping or the dressage portion?
This is show jumping. So the horse is called Lochview Lulu. And so, yes, nice Irish horse. And it was ahead of Robert Whittaker in Catwalk 4, who is, a well-known British rider, part of the Whittaker dynasty. So, a great, great result for Ireland there.
Absolutely. Now, you've got some more news on Carl Hester. He just won a huge award.
He did. Now, he was at Windsor competing as well with Nip Tuck, who is the horse that he was riding at last year's World Equestrian Games. And he won the Grand Prix, which is great. And then he followed it up with victory in the Grand Prix freestyle. But he was a little bit disappointed because he didn't quite get 80%. And I can remember the days when British riders were struggling to get 70%. And so now the fact that we're all worrying about not hitting 80 just shows you how remarkable it's come on. While he was at the show, the Queen's often wandering around, but he was involved in a very special presentation of the Queen's Award for Equestrianism, and he got it not only because of all the things he's achieved for Britain, but also, you know, as a rider, but also as the things he's done as an owner and a trainer with, you know, the protege of Charlotte Dujardin and things like that. So a very deserving winner.
I got to tell you, I saw about 100 pictures. If not more from the Windsor Horse Show. And of course, the driving, I just have to throw in here, driving was won by an American. Chester Weber won it again for the second year. But you saw all the pictures of the Queen and all the royal family out and about. Most of the pictures that we see over here in America of the Queen any other time, she is never smiling. You never, ever see her smile, the pictures we see. When she's at the Windsor Horse Show, every picture you saw was of her smiling. You can tell she just loves horses.
She does, and she loves seeing her horses compete. And Barbershop, who is a horse that she had as a racehorse and is now competing in showing with Katie Jerram, he did well, and he won the retrained racehorse class. So she was delighted to see him do well.
Prince Philip drove in too. Prince Philip was driving a four in hand in the pleasure part of the competition. They bring out and show off all the fancy carriages, and I saw he was still driving at the age of, 93 or 4?
He must be getting on a bit now, yes. It's quite remarkable. He's obviously not competing in driving trials anymore, but he's still keeping his hands in, so that's really nice to see.
Now, I have two questions, and I need you're going to know the answer to the second one, but I need you to really do some research and find out the answer to the first one. Write this down, get a pen. I need to know what face cream the Queen uses, because she has, no wrinkles at 80. I need this face cream.
I think if your face is being put on pound notes and coins all the time, then you would want to have lots of moisturizer as well. So whatever she's using, she's obviously got that in the back of her mind.
Can you imagine her, Glenn, doing the Revlon commercials, like the Queen on there going, hey, I'm the face of, whatever commercial product. I could see her doing that. The other thing is, when she rides, she still rides. Does she ride side saddle or does she straddle the horse?
She rides astride. Yeah, I don't think I've seen pictures of her riding side saddle for years and years. So I think I'm happy to be proved wrong.
I knew you'd know that one, but if you could work on the face cream thing, that'd be great. Because she just looks amazing. And she's freaking 80 years old. It's ridiculous.
Well, actually, next year, aren't you doing a big 90th birthday party next year? Isn't it next year?
Yes, there's going to be a big equine celebration with lots and lots of horses involved. So that's quite exciting. There was something quite similar a few years ago with her Golden Jubilee. Diamond Jubilee. Even. I'm losing track of time. That'll be really exciting to watch next year at Windsor.
Oh, my gosh. That doesn't seem like it should have been 10 years ago. And now you have an article titled, "Will We See an All Whitaker Lineup?" What is that about?
Yes, so the Nations Cup series is obviously the global show jumping series where you have teams of four riders from different countries and they go off to different shows and compete. And you name a squad of five that go, and then four make the final team, and then you have one as the reserve who competes in the other classes. So out of a squad of five, there are four Whitakers. So there is a good chance that for the first time ever, there will be a team from Britain purely consisting of Whitakers.
Now, are they related or is it just...
Yes, do you guys know John and Michael Whitaker? They're the most famous in the family.
Right, yes.
Now we do.
Show jumpers, yes.
They're like show jumping legends. You know, they've been...
Right.
At the top since kind of late 60s, early 70s, and they've just dominated for years and years. And so they're brothers, but they also have two other brothers, and they all have children that show jump. There's literally like 20 odd show jumping Whitakers, and it's quite hard to keep track of them. So this is John and Michael, the brothers, and then Robert is John's son, and William is their nephew. I hope I've got that right. So all four of them are going to be on the same squad.
Oh my gosh, that would be hilarious. Well, I just have to pull for them for just, you know, keeping the gene pool alive. That's great.
Exactly. Quite impressive. I hope instead of breeding show jumping horses, they just breed riders. And there's always the next generation coming along.
Your last name is Whitaker? Here, I'll give you a nice horse to ride because that's
exactly.
Your last name. Now, your video of the week is actually really helpful, especially for this time of year where we're having a lot of the spring grass making your horses fat. It's a video with Jenny that shows you how to fat score your horse.
Exactly. Now, it's taken from our series of last year called Vet Essentials, which covered some of the main kind of veterinary concerns that owners have. And in this one, a professor... from a veterinary college shows Jenny what to do and how to fat score your horse and how to tell if he is overweight. And I don't know what it's like over there, but over here there's a really big obesity endemic, and just more and more people are letting their horses get grossly overweight, and it's endangering their health, and they're doing it because, you know, they don't want to seem mean to restrict their food, or they don't quite understand how much grass there is or what hard feed they need. And so it's becoming an increasing problem over here. So we thought this video was really useful, and it's been shared lots and lots of times already.
Well, you know, it's America, honey. We have Walmart and everybody's fat.
I haven't seen any fat American horses though. So
I got one. I got one right outside my window right now. You want me to send you a picture?
Right, Glenn, you need to get fat scoring.
It's funny. I worked so hard to keep the pony that we have boarded here skinny that the vet came out and she's like, "Wow, I've never seen a pony that looked actually thin." I'm like, "Well, I basically starved him to death to keep him like at a normal weight." So some of us do work hard, but you know, I guess it can happen over there. And you guys get so much rain, I'm sure the grass just comes out of their ears. So.
Exactly. It's really difficult, and especially at this time of year. But it does make me laugh that I spent my entire childhood trying to keep the weight off my fat little ponies, and now I have thoroughbreds, and I spend my whole time trying to put weight on them.
It's funny, isn't it? I mean, that's probably the other thing, is I have a bunch of thoroughbreds, and that pony looks fat no matter what he does. So it's true. Now, before we let you go, we've got Erin's blog. You got a new blogger.
Yes, we do. And she's great. Her name's Erin Orford, and she is a para equestrian. And she's very much hoping for you. Selection for the Europeans this year, and she's definitely one to watch. And she is really quite entertaining. And she didn't have the best season last year, and she said she wanted to write a book that was a bit like Carl Hester's book, Making It Happen. Apart from she was going to call hers Not Making It Happen. So if you want to find out what happened to Erin last year, do check out her blog.
Well, Victoria, you know, I know you like to visit the United States. You come over here on vacation. You have several times since you started doing this show with us years ago. And, you know, I figure you should come over here to live, and I have the place for you. It's for sale in Texas. It's just a little place. It's only 510,000 acres. It's bigger than the city of London. It's actually our biggest ranch. It's for sale now. It's the Wagner Ranch. It's been in a court battle for decades amongst the heirs of the Baron W.T. Wagner, who founded it in 1923. It includes two main compounds, hundreds of homes, 20 cowboy camps, 1,200 oil wells, 30,000 acres of cultivated land. That's 30,000 acres of cultivated land. That's a lot of plowing. And thousands of cattle, hundreds of quarter horses. It's perfect for you, Victoria.
And how much does this cost?
Oh, did I mention it comes with 250 cowboys? Your boyfriend might have a problem with that, but I just thought I'd throw that in. It does come with 250 cowboys, so there's that. $725 million. Just a chump change for this.
That's a little bit out of my budget. And also, I have a garden. It's quite small, and I can't even look after that. So I don't think I should be let loose on property the size of London, to be fair. It would become like the wilderness. So, yeah, that would not be good.
It stretches over 9 counties. And these are Texas counties. Texas counties are huge. Yeah. Yeah. Jamie, you've been looking for a new place when your husband retires. Perfect. Perfect.
Yeah, this sounds like retirement. Like, it'd be easy to take care of.
Well, you got the 250 cowboys. They do all the work, right? I mean, just send them out. By the way, they still mostly do the cowboy stuff on horseback, by the way. Just saying. On this ranch.
That is very nice. Cool.
Well, hey, Glenn, I got to run. The baby is screaming, and so you can finish up with Victoria. Bye, everybody.
I will. All right. See ya. Well, Victoria, thank you so much for joining us again. We really appreciate it. Of course, it's horseandcountry.tv is the website. And I'm going to ask you what we ask you every week at the end of our conversation. United States yet?
No, sadly not yet. Okay. But I will let you know as soon as I can. And you should check out the Horse and Country app if you've got an iPhone or an Android phone. Because I think you should be able to download the app. And you can't sign up to watch the channel, but I think you should be able to watch a couple of shows for free. So do check it out, Anna, and let me know how you get on.
I will check it out. I'll do that for sure. Thank you, Victoria. We'll see
you. My pleasure.
All right, bye-bye. Well, we appreciate her joining us every week here on the show from horseandcountry.tv. Well, that's it for today. We have to get ready to do a little test show this afternoon with our new system, like we mentioned before in the show. And I love, Jennifer, you came up with a name for Tuesday's episode, our special Tuesday episode here next week. We won't have one on Monday because it's a holiday, but Tuesday we're going to have an episode. You came up with a name for it. What's the name you came up with?
Tuesday's episode is the schooling show.
That's right. We're going to have a schooling show on Tuesday. I love that.
We're going to be playing That Girl a lot.
Yeah, it's the Horses in the Morning schooling show, and we expect disaster. So it'll be our first day of really doing an entire show with the new system, which has lots of moving parts to
casual.
It.
Yeah. Casual attire.
Casual
Rating
attire.
Is not required. Yep.
Yes. Be prepared to pull out your earphones at any point, because I might be blasting you out with music when we don't have the level set right. I had to get a new mixer, and it is got a lot of buttons. Has a lot of buttons. So I'll post a picture of the new studio that we had to build basically here to make this all work and to get you better sound quality, because we love you guys and we want you to hear us a little bit better than you have in the past 5 years. So hopefully that'll solve that problem. And auditors, we'll see you this afternoon for our test, and we hope it all goes well. Nothing else, we'll have some fun. I don't think there's any swearing restrictions on the auditor test, so it's all good. I can get mad at the mixer and throw it out the window and call it bad names when nothing works. So that's all. We're all looking forward to that today. Thank you, Jennifer.
You're welcome.
Thank you, everybody. We'll talk to you again tomorrow morning. It's our trail riding episode tomorrow morning. And then Jane will be back on Friday. Don't forget to get your ads in to Jennifer. I think you said you needed some really bad ads, right?
I need ads.
Okay, get your ads into Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Go on Craigslist today. It takes 5 minutes to find really crappy ads in the farm section. So hop on there and send them off to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Copy and paste the entire ad into the email. We'll have a great prize for you. I think actually this week, the prize is a box of crap, the coveted box of crap out of my closet. And now that I cleaned the studio to put the new studio in, I got boxes of crap. So we'll be giving one of those away.
Old cables. Yeah, broken microphones.
I'm going to throw all kinds of crap. I do have a couple microphones I could throw in there. All right, everybody. Thank you. Take care. See you tomorrow. Be safe. Wear your helmets.